The word today is priesthood. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. It may be surprising to learn that if you are a believer in Jesus, God calls you a priest. The function of the priests in the Old Testament was to pray for people and offer sacrifices to God. Hear from our archives to teach us how we are to function as priests is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Priesthood.
There are several religious groups in America that emphasize priesthood, and I suppose if I were to say what comes to your mind about the priesthood, that concept, most people would think about the Roman Catholic Church, because they have, their pastors are known as priests. And in their belief, they believe that this has been handed down all the way from the statement made in Matthew 16. By the way, you might want to turn to Matthew 16. In Matthew 16, Peter makes a beautiful confession of faith. The discussion is, who do people say that I am? You know, that sort of thing. And also, you know, the disciples say, well, some say this, some say that, some say you're a prophet who has returned, and so on and so on. And in that process, Peter is asked, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter makes a very bold confession, and he knows who Jesus Christ is. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And he makes a beautiful declaration of faith there. And it is after this that Jesus says, upon this rock. Now, you see, the reason there's some confusion there, no doubt, is that Petros, the Greek word Petros, means rock. And that was the name that Jesus gave to Peter. He said, and of course Peter is the English translation of that, your name from now on will be Peter, meaning Petros, or rock. And so I suppose it can lead to some confusion that upon this rock I will build my church. Well, Jesus is not going to build his church upon a human being. I don't care how great that human being is, and Peter was a great disciple, no denying that. My goodness, what a great man of faith. But God does not build his church upon a person. We believe that it's clear in this statement in Matthew 16 that the faith that is expressed by Peter is the rock upon which God is going to build his church. This statement of faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, he is the true Messiah, this faith is what God builds his church upon. By the way, later on, just a chapter or two later, Peter denies Jesus. You know, now how would those that say, well, you know, how would they reconcile that? And of course, the interesting thing I like is that this commission that Jesus gives to his church wasn't just to Peter. You go back several more chapters toward the end of Matthew and you will see that Jesus gives the same keys of the kingdom of heaven, where he says, whosoever sins you forgive are forgiven, and whosoever sins you retain are retained. This, the keys to the kingdom, is given not merely to Peter, but to all the disciples. As a matter of fact, we believe it is clear from these statements that the kingdom of God, the keys to the kingdom of God, is available to every single Christian. We believe that's what the priesthood of believers is all about. We believe that each of us is a priest in God's eyes. Now, the interesting thing about this, and I want to emphasize this, is that there are several references throughout the Bible that we are a holy priesthood, that we are the living stones it speaks of. For instance, in the temple of God, that we are a holy people. It speaks about all kinds of references. So I would like to suggest that when you think of priesthood, that you think of yourself. Now, I'm assuming that you're a Christian. I'm assuming that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and that you know He is the only way of salvation, and that through Him you now have the gift of eternal life. Now, Jesus calls each of us to be a priest. And I think that's so much more important than thinking that you have to go through an individual. God made it very clear that there's no one we have to go through except His Son, Jesus Christ. And so when we think of this and when we plan about understanding our own priesthood, I would like to suggest you can go through the Bible and you can see that priests did a number of things. One thing they did, they prayed. They prayed. And in particular, the high priest, you remember, would enter the Holy of Holies. That's why we call Jesus today our sacrificial high priest, that He came. The offering He made, that's another thing priests did. They would offer the animal sacrifices. The offering Jesus made was of His own body. He sacrificed Himself upon the cross. So you have the work of the priest is to pray and to make offerings, to make a sacrifice. And they were to be, in the garments they wore and so on, exemplary in their life. They were to represent holiness. To this day, if you go to many churches, you will find that the pastor wears a robe, and then he wears some garments. A lot of times he wears a yoke around his neck. This is an indication usually of the season, whether it's a Lenten season, whether it's the Easter season, whether it's a Trinity season, and so on. If you want to do a little study on this, the colors mean different things and represent different things, but the point is their life should be exemplary. Now, that's only, it certainly isn't perfect because everyone is sinful, and so were these priests. But they were trying to set an example. They were trying to illustrate what love is, what forgiveness is, and how they conducted their lives. And so they were set aside as very special people. Now, even today, in most churches, they have for the ministry what they call ordination. They set aside this person who's going to lead them and teach them. They don't in any way worship them, obviously, and they don't regard them as being somebody that's a medium between them and God. That would be horrible. As a matter of fact, you and I, getting back to the priesthood of all believers, that we are God's royal priesthood, His holy people forgiven through Jesus Christ, we actually have as much access to God as any priest or any pastor. I think that's a very important thing to understand. Nobody stands between us and God. You can pray directly to Jesus. He has asked us to come to Him personally with our concerns and thoughts. Now, I'm not going to negate people going for confession because actually there's a real benefit in that also. If you go, let's say you're troubled by a particular sin, it's good that you can go to a priest or you can go to your pastor and you can discuss that because oftentimes they'll know some scripture references and they'll say, well, this kind of reminds me of what God says here. And they can give you a great deal of comfort. God wants us to forgive each other. As a matter of fact, not only can we receive forgiveness from a priest or pastor, and then, of course, most urgently, most importantly, from Jesus Christ Himself and from God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. You can't separate God. He is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But you can also forgive each other. In fact, Jesus has taught us to do that. And that's one thing I want you to understand in your priesthood of all believers. One of the things we can do, let's start with the first thing I mentioned, which is pray. Pray. A priest prays. Well, as a father to your children, I certainly hope, and as a mother to your children, I certainly hope you pray for your children. And if your congregation is similar to ours, we have little prayer cards that people can sign and fill in and say, you know, my wife or my husband or my child is going to have surgery this week. Would you please pray for them? Or my friend, it couldn't be in another part of the country or even another part of the world. My friend is having a very difficult time. I'm asking you as a child of God, as a member of the priesthood of all believers, would you please pray for yourself, for your family, for your immediate family, for your relatives, for your fellow Christians and fellow priests at church, if you understand how I'm using that term now, so that you will pray in your prayer circle, you will pray in your prayer meetings, and you will put missions on your heart and mind and pray for the people in China, in India, in Africa, all over the world, just like we did for the survivors of the tsunami, just like the whole world was praying that help would get there in time, food would get there in time, medicine would get there in time. I hope as a priest of God that you will be a prayer, praying for your loved ones, yourself, and others, especially praying for the lost. Now let's get to that offering of sacrifice business. You know, we don't offer sacrifices of animals, pigeons, and calves, and things like that anymore, obviously. Christ came, he fulfilled all those laws by sacrificing himself on the cross. But the writer to the letter of Hebrews, turn in the book of Hebrews. Now that sounds Old Testament, but it's New Testament. Turn in Hebrews 13, verse 15. The sacrifices we are to bring now are the good deeds that we do to help one another. I hope you'll do that, and I hope your example will be one of holiness in life. Forgiveness through Jesus Christ and a real effort to please God by how you speak, how you conduct yourself, and what you do. Pray, make offerings and sacrifice, and be holy.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find the Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support the Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at the Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have the Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.